diving in with our buddy, Dr. Jason Kanz. Good morning.
Good morning.
I got to get on you here a little bit. I understand you've read 45 books, and I just, if you're going to get to 100 this year, that's, you're going to have to work harder in the second half of the year, I think.
You know, I track my reading on a program called Goodreads, and people can follow me there, too, if they really want to. But I think my best year was 145 books, and I've read as few as, I think, 80 books in a year. And, you know, so it's kind of fun to go through and track the different things I'm reading and whatnot. So, yeah.
So I'm going to Goodreads right now. If I wanted to track you, how do I do that?
Yeah, you look for my name, which I think I have listed as Doc Kanz, D-O-C-K-A-N-Z.
Uh-huh.
And that includes all the different books. I actually track them by year.
Yeah.
You know, Goodreads is an interesting program because it's kind of social media for book nerds. So it's fun.
No, but, it sounds good. Best book you've read this year?
Oh, man. You know, there have been a lot of really good ones this year so far. I would say the one I just finished recently, Love Matters More, was really good by Jared Bias.
Okay.
I thought was really an excellent book. You know, I think the, I'm just going through my list again. There was one that just popped out to me. You know, I think, there's a book that I had never heard of called Shalom and the Community of Creation, an Indigenous Vision, which I don't know that you and I have even talked about, but it was just a really interesting look at the concept of shalom as a biblical concept, but also through, by this man who is a Native American. And so just kind of a really neat understanding of what shalom looks like.
Yeah.
You know, so it's been a good year so far for books. I think, I don't know if it'll be as good as last year, which was really an excellent book year. So, yeah.
That's great. I saw something yesterday that it was on a couple of different places. I dropped my advice on this, but it said best advice you can give in 4 words. I've got mine, but what would you, and I'm just dropping this on you, but what would it be for you?
You know, and this is going to be another book that I've read several times. I would say Love Big, Be Well.
Is,
you know, Wynne Collier's book title, I think, is good, great advice in 4 words.
Right.
We're called to be people of love. So how about you?
Mine would be Let God Love You.
I
dropped that twice yesterday. Jacob's Well had something on Facebook about advice in general, and then somebody else had the best advice in 4 words. But I got it from Lloyd Ogilvy. That's what he called his TV show, and I've loved it ever since I heard it. So,
yeah, I've heard that from you multiple times, and I think that's a good one to keep coming back to.
Put it on my tombstone, which I don't really plan to have one, I think. But anyhow, yeah, I think that's good advice. So.
Perfect.
We don't really have time for the next planned segment here, which was, I don't know, tell us the book you were just reading yesterday when I saw you.
Yeah, so it's called The Seeker and the Monk. It was written by a woman named Sophronia Scott, and she is a novelist and essayist, and she wrote this book on her interactions with a monk, Thomas Merton. And she, you know, he died in the 1960s. And so it's kind of her walking through his writings.
We still have a minute, so give it a shot.
Sure.
We'll send this people into the weekend with this.
Sure. I shared this with you yesterday, and it we'll just kind of start with it. And she wrote, "I want someone to love me. Whenever I read or hear someone say that, I picture a person stripped bare, standing with palms up, the essence of vulnerability. The image is breathtaking in its beauty and frightening in its truth. I think we all walk around like that inside. We clothe ourselves to hide the shame of this want." You know, and I think it gets at what you and I talk about, this idea of standing vulnerably before others and how scary that can be sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so an audio recommendation for the holiday weekend, if you can access The Power of Vulnerability from Brené Brown, that would be time well spent, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Very, very good stuff. So.
All right, safe travels for the 4th of July weekend. Don't blow off your fingers with fireworks, and we'll talk to you on... I'll be back here on Monday, but your option. You want Monday off, and we'll talk to you on Tuesday?
Yeah, I'll be back on Monday.
All right, very good. We'll talk to you then.
All right, sounds good.
All right, there we go, Jason. So there you go. Get going on the reading there over the holiday weekend, and appreciate his inspiration in so many ways. Good morning to Susan. Good morning.
Hey, Mark. Hi, everybody. Happy Friday.
Hey, happy Friday. Something we threw out as a question, I think I'm going to quick make it the question of the morning, is what's your best four-word advice? We got the 4th of July. What's your best four-word advice for people? You don't have to answer right now. You can think about it if you want to.
Oh, my goodness.
Mine was let God love you.
I love that. Mm-hmm. How can anyone top that? Eat your greens, always. Always eat your greens.
That's good. Motherly advice for sure. All right, if I just said, hey, guys, by the way, don't forget, don't shove garlic in your nose. You might be like, why do you say that? Well, I'm glad you asked because...
why'd you say that, Mark?
TikTok, we're really wondering.
Has recently tried to convince us that one weird trick is all it takes to unclog those pesky sinuses is shoving cloves of garlic up your nostrils. There's been multiple TikTok videos showing this, and they are as convincing as they are disgusting. People are seen ramming a garlic clove in each nostril. No, thank you. Keeping it there for a spell and then slowly removing the cloves to reveal a literal waterfall of mucus.
Oh, goodness.
A San Diego-based doctor, though, says, this is not recommended and can be dangerous. He says putting garlic up your nose is a no-no.
Doctors' jobs are hard enough without having to monitor TikTok to warn the public that, hey, this is not real medical advice.
Yeah.
In the modern age, I guess.
Go ahead.
He says it can actually worsen runny nose symptoms, which may make people falsely think it's working to help relieve a stuffy nose.
Oh my gosh.
Actually, what you're seeing there on the TikTok videos is actually a reaction to the irritation and to the strong smell, hello, of the garlic.
So don't do that. Yeah. Keep using your common sense. TikTok is not the arbiter of wisdom. But I remember back when I used to watch the Today Show, I used to call Phil and give him a heads up. I'm like, they just did a segment. They mentioned either, you know, a weight loss thing or heart. And they said, if your doctor isn't telling you about this, get a new doctor. You know, they always say that. You deserve to know this. So I'm like, Phil, here's a heads up.
Yeah, there you go. That's why he won that award from the Leaders
Club. Yeah. So now I got to tell him. No mas on the garlic in the nose.
TikTok. Kayla, Mark, and Susan here on the WIB Wake Up Show on WWIB, where we are family. We did not forget. Yes, it's heading into a holiday weekend, but we are still keeping up our traditions on this program. It's where we get you caught up on everything you might have missed in the past week, whether it be news, sports, politics, pop culture. There's a lot going on, and you need to know about it. So we bring it to you in condensed form because we respect your time. It's called Headlines. Here we go.
A study of 4,000 Americans revealed that only 12% of us eat right.
Although they admit the survey could be flawed because the poll was taken at the exit of a Taco Bell drive-thru.
Another study finds that we are more mentally alert in rooms painted bright colors, such as reds and yellows.
Which explains why I get my best ideas between Big Macs.
Mm. It's grilling season again.
Whenever I have a barbecue, I always make enough hot dogs for 6 extra people because that's usually how many firemen are on the truck that comes to put out the fire.
Very considerate of you.
Yeah, I've learned.
Hey, a study found that you reduce your risk of heart attack by 10% by eating sardines and anchovies.
And in a related study, you reduce your chances of a goodnight kiss from your spouse by 90% if you do that.
4th of July tip. If they start giving off sparks, shoot into the sky, and explode, you put too much pepper on your guest hamburgers.
Another recent study reveals that most Americans no longer believe the United States is the best country in the world.
Way to go, Facebook.
Isn't that the truth?
And this was all over the news this week. A venomous snake was on the loose in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Authorities are still trying to figure out how it traveled so far from Washington, D.C. But,
ouch. Edgy.
Those are your headlines, and now you're all caught up.
Thank goodness news sources say a year ago this happened. Well, a year ago this week, scientists developed a better way to measure how old your dog is. I did not know this. I've been treating Tip like he's only 14. Well, listen up, guys. Translating a dog's age to human years using the popular method of multiplying by 7 might be fun, but it's of little use to a vet. They studied all this DNA. There are things called methylation marks. So the new research shows dog's DNA develop very quickly when they're young and more slowly when they're old. So one dog year does not equal 7 human years. Huh. And for example, they say a 1-year-old dog is the equivalent of a 30-year-old human, but they're still living in my basement. A 4-year-old dog is like a 52-year-old man. After age 7, dog aging slows down.
That is interesting. Since a kid, it's like, oh, well, in dog years, you know, such and such. But so they kind of age very, very rapidly, which makes sense,
at
too.
First,
I mean, even when you look at their growth, because I remember Arlo, who's about 90 pounds now, how small a time he was small.
Yes.
I mean, he was super, you know, little and cute. And then before long, he's just this big hulking puppy.
Exactly.
And it did not take long.
Yeah.
So.
And Tip, well, my dog Tip turned 2 in February, and I've been giving him all kinds of slack, thinking he's only 14. Now he needs to, now that I know he's more like 30, he needs to figure out what he's going to do with his life.
That's the thing, too, because so many times it's like, well, he's just an adolescent dog. No, you're not. Not according to science.
And my dog Clemmy's like, really? Aging decreases after 7? That's a relief. Cool stuff. Interesting.
Facts. Dropping some knowledge on you this morning on the Wib Wake Up Show. 848, 68 degrees.
Yeah, as we go into the best of the week here, the one thing that stood out to me putting this one together in the last few minutes is there's so much good content that didn't make it.
Aw, so that's nice.
That says good things about our show.
All right, this is the Wib Wake Up Show. This is what Howell puts together. He spent so much time on this. If you enjoy it, let us know. Again, this is a lot of fun to recap everything that went on the past week on the Wib Wake Up Show. Hope you enjoy it as much as we do here.
It's been a good day so far. This morning, the bulb finally burned out in my check engine light.
Hi, Diane. Who's your favorite masked character?
Good morning. I'd choose the Lone Ranger.
The Lone Ranger. Yeah, that's a popular one for sure. Why is that?
It just reminds me of my childhood.
Yeah.
Watching it with all my brothers. I had 8 brothers, and we just would sit down and watch the Lone Ranger.
Yeah. I think you can hear the music now.
Yeah, I can.
There is a National Hot Dog and Sausage Council.
I'm not sure
who sits on this and how you become.
I didn't know it, but now I feel relieved.
One of the hot dog mafia. But
and I think they wear kind of some of the water buffalo hats, like from the Flintstones, right? So
probably have a chant.
A grand poobah. We're asking you this morning who your favorite masked character is. Jason and I, about an hour ago, said Batman. We went with Batman.
Of course.
But we also
did.
Yeah, I know. But I think you're going to go in a different direction.
Of course I am. Every mother in the world who has seen The Incredibles would pick Elastigirl. Of course.
Yes.
She can get her arms out there and grab everything. And my goodness, it's got to be Elastigirl.
Caleb, any thoughts?
I think I'd have to go with Iron Man.
Iron Man. All right.
Nice.
So there you go. Favorite mask character, let us know.
We are well protected, people.
The National Hot Dog Council also says this: condiments should be applied in the following order. I feel like this is written in like Declaration of Independence or Constitution type of old script. Wet toppings like mustard and chili go first, then your chunky toppings like relish, onions, and sauerkraut, then shredded cheese, then and only then.
That sounds like quite a hot dog right there.
It does. They say use paper napkins and paper plates when consuming your hot dog. Never use cloth napkins or china when eating hot dogs. Can you imagine being served hot dogs on china? I would feel like this place is upscale.
Pretentious.
On the WWIB Radio Facebook page, again, asking you what outdated piece of technology do you still prefer? How about this one from Darcy? Cookbooks. Actual cookbooks.
It is almost unfortunate Darcy brings up cookbooks on today of all days, as it is maybe one of the darkest days in the history of cookbooks. Back in 2006. The Twinkies cookbook was released, perhaps innocent on its surface, but it featured terrifying recipes such as the Twinkie burrito and Twinkie lasagna.
Wow.
I might try the Twinkie lasagna.
Really?
I might, depending on. Well, and here's the thing. Is this a dessert lasagna or is this regular lasagna
that
made with Twinkies?
Because much needed context.
That's the important question
I think it's a lasagna, like Snickers salad is a salad.
Yeah. Or in hot dog etiquette from the National Hot Dog and Sausage Council, this one is interesting to me. A hot dog, they say, should be eaten in no more than 5 bites.
That is ridiculous.
You have 5 bites.
This council is caught up in their power and their
if it's a foot long.
I don't think I use more than 5 bites. I may use 3 bites. It depends.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. Are they just watching Joey Chestnut all the time on the 4th of July at that hot dog eating contest? And they're like, I feel like regular people could do it in 5.
Most wedding days happen only once, but Peter and Lisa Marshall of Connecticut got to relive the magic again. 56-year-old Peter, who was diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's 3 years ago, asked his wife to marry him again in December after forgetting the couple had wed 12 years prior. Lisa said that as they were watching an episode of New Girl featuring a wedding, Peter pointed to the screen and said, "Let's do it." She replied, "Do what?" Peter said, "You want to get married?" Lisa explains that Peter didn't know she was his wife, only his favorite person. Lisa told her children, who encouraged her to renew their wedding vows. Lisa's daughter and event planner helped set the whole thing up. Oh, my heart.
You never know what can happen when you're watching a sitcom.
I just love it. And I love that he wanted to get married all over again. And that the kids thought, we need something to celebrate. Let's do it. What a great, great story.
Touching way to end the best of the week right there.
That was great, Howell. Yeah. As per usual.
I enjoyed that show as a listener so much. Thank you, Mark.